Good morning. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. Pastor Vic here, and you can see I'm not on my own this morning.
Morning,
I've got Nancy with me, and Nancy's going to lead us in communion later on, so you don't have to listen to me for the whole time. So welcome. I'm sure you'll be blessed this morning in our service. We are going to take communion together at the end. We will pray over an offering, and I will give a message. So let me just read part of the word before we start. It says that Psalms 27 starts, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I think that's really important sentiments this morning and the times that we're in this world. He is our light. He is our salvation. I'll be preaching on that later. And because of that, we don't have to fear anyone or anything. So that's a really good promise to start off this morning. But let's pray before we launch into our Sunday service. Father, I thank you so much that we're here this morning. Thank you that we're in this place. Thank you that we are gathering together to come round your word, gathering together to take communion, to focus on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we're able to come round the word in this manner. Thank you that we are here, and thank you, Father, that you are with us. The word says where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. I know we're not together in the flesh, but we are together in the spirit, and we thank you that you are with us. And we look forward to this morning. Look forward to what you're saying to us. Look forward to these seeds that we're going to plant in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So, yes, Nancy is going to join us again later on and lead us in communion. But I'll just bring the word now.
Okay. So, see you later.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thought it would be good for you to see someone else this morning. Not just look at me for 40 minutes and hear my dulcet tones. So yes, once I finish giving the message, Nancy will return and will lead us in communion. Amen. Good to see there's a few folk on already sending their comments in. Good to see you, the Michelles. And there's a Facebook user there. I'm not sure who that is. Can't see your name. But anyway, bless you. Thank you for joining. It's good to see that there are so many people on this morning. Let's start with the word. Hallelujah. The agent of change in our lives. So important that we understand this. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the truths held within. I thank you that it calls itself an incorruptible seed. I thank you that it's perfect. I thank you that it's designed as a perfect seed, designed to go into the ground of our hearts, designed to germinate, designed to grow, and designed to produce fruit in our lives. Hallelujah. But we thank you that understanding is required. We know that the enemy is trying to steal these seeds, trying to steal this word from us. So we speak out understanding right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that these seeds can grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I think it's always important every time you read the word, every time you study the word, pray for that understanding. Because this is just not to read. This is to understand. This is to digest. This is to eat, to get inside you. And we really do need understanding in order for it to do the work that it was designed to do. So pray for understanding every time you read the word, every time you study the word. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is the third week of my mini-series. I normally start a new series in the new year. I started it a week early this year. Started it in the last Sunday of December. Just wanted to get right into the word and get into my mini-series. So this is week three. And I'm looking at a single word at the start of this new year. And I'm trying to encourage you to believe that you are what the Bible calls a whosoever. Now, I mentioned that this word can be translated as all. Indeed, when we see that word, whosoever, we can believe that whatever is said there is for us. Because we are a whosoever. We are part of this all that is humanity, that is mankind. We cannot be excluded from that. If we are alive, if we are breathing, and if we are a born-again believer, we are what's known as a whosoever in the word. And we need to really grasp that concept and understand who we are as a whosoever. And that's what I'm trying to do at the start of this new year. And last week, we looked at whosoever's being saved. And I spent time on the word sozo, looking at what that meant. Because that word, that Greek word sozo, is translated as saved so many times in the New Testament. And I want to carry on that same theme this morning. Because I'm sure there's a lot of you out there, after I finished last week telling you that sozo, as well as being translated as saved, can be translated as healed, as delivered, and prospered. I'm sure there are many of you, me included, who was thinking, well, you know what, Vic? I don't actually feel 100% healed. I don't actually feel 100% delivered of things that are binding me, that are bondages in my life. I don't actually feel 100% prospered. There is, excuse me, there is still that bit of lack in areas in my life. So in that case, have I not been saved? Have I not been fully saved? If I'm not 100% healed, not 100% delivered, not 100% prospered, am I therefore not 100% saved? Well, I want to show you today that you have been 100% saved in part of your life. Anyway, amen. I said last week that I thought there was quite a misunderstanding in church circles about what it means to be saved. I suggested that most Christians believe that they see being saved or salvation as their ticket into heaven. That this everlasting life spoken about in John 3 starts when you die and you go into heaven. But I told you that that's not the case. That everlasting life, that abundant life that we hear about in John 10:10 starts the second you are born again. And in one sense, as soon as you're born again, you have been saved, healed, delivered, and prospered. But in another sense, once you have been born again, you are being and will be saved going forward. That is healed, delivered, and prospered. Now, that seems a bit confusing. Am I saved or am I being saved? Is it a one-off event or is it a continual process? Well, I'm hoping to explain that this morning. You see, in one sense, I don't believe that salvation is a one-off event in the life of the believer. I see it as a continual process, an ongoing process. Because my personal experience in my life, and the personal experience I see in the lives of my family and my friends and my fellowship who are Christians, I see in their lives, in my life, that we've been healed, or we've been delivered, we've been prospered in various ways in our Christian walk. As we start from being born again and moving in our Christian walk, going forward, we're healed a bit more, have a bit of delivery, see some prosperity, get healed again. You see what I'm telling? It's like a continual process in our walk with the Lord. For example, I didn't see my health change to perfection the second I was born again. The second I believed, I wasn't instantly healed. But if salvation is a one-off event, that should have happened. Because salvation means being healed, being delivered, being prospered. But I've seen improvements in my health over time. And in that sense, I see myself being saved or moving into salvation in a continual process, an ongoing process. I have seen my thoughts about money and giving and prosperity change in huge ways over the years. And in that sense, this prosperity and abundance, I see myself being saved or moving into salvation on an ongoing process. Let's look at the word. Turn with me to Romans. Romans 10. And I want to read from verse 9 to verse 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You will be sozoed. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I think I might have to look at that next week. What does that mean, not to be ashamed? Because you're a whosoever. So you will not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now, we all know that's the salvation verse. We use this in order to see people saved in the sense of believing in Jesus and trusting in Jesus and coming to Jesus and being born again. And yes, I see that as a one-off event. You are born again once, in the same way you were physically born once. Verse 9 talks about confessing Jesus, believing God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. That's sozo. Verse 10, believe in your heart about this righteousness and speak that out with your mouth. You move into salvation, into sozo. Saved. Now remember, that means ticket into heaven, healed, delivered, prospered. But I remember back to when I was born again. I might tell you about it one day. I was actually born again, kneeling in the toilet. But my experience did not tie up with the meaning that I gave for sozo last week. Or rather, I should say, what I believe is the biblical meaning for sozo. Eternal life with God, healing, wholeness, deliverance, prosperity. Okay, I remember when I believed, when I was born again, I believed I would be okay when I died. And yes, that was a relief. I needed that. I believed I was going to go to heaven. But I did not suddenly become healed. There were things that still held me in bondage that I was suddenly not delivered from. And I had a terrible grip it or poverty mindset. And I did not become instantly prosperous. But I was saved. I was sozoed. So why wasn't I healed, delivered, and prospered, as that word means? But you know what, guys? Actually, I did. I was healed. I was delivered. I was prospered. I just didn't realise that. Didn't know that. Didn't know which part of me was healed, delivered, prospered. But I did not have healing, deliverance, prosperity manifest in the physical yet. Now, you guys, you've been listening to for any time, you know I have my favourite verses. Oh, here they come. You know, Vic trotting out these verses again and again. There are some verses there that are, you know, really important in my life that have changed my life. I quote and I use them continually in my preaching and teaching. Ephesians 1:3 is one of them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verses, I, as a believer, have all spiritual blessings. You could say all healing, all deliverance, all prosperity. Well, sorry, I didn't really feel that night I was saved. I didn't see full healing, full deliverance, full prosperity. 2 Peter 1:3 is another of my favourite verses. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I, as a believer, have all I need for life. And that word life, it's not just any life. That's a Zoe life. That's a great life. That's an abundant life. I have all I need for godliness. Don't you have any sin in my life again? Don't you have anything holding me in bondage ever again? According to that verse, I'm sorry, I did not feel that the night I was born again. Or even the days, or weeks, or months, or I'm ashamed to say, years that followed. I was still in relatively poor health. I was still in bondage to things I should not have been in bondage to. I was still in lack and poverty in areas of my life. So why was this, if salvation, if being saved means what the word says, and it's not just a ticket into heaven, but it's healing and deliverance and prosperity? Well, another of my favourite verses is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know here at MGF, you've been taught this a number of times. If you don't know it yet, read Nunzi's book. We know that we are three-part beings. I've covered this many times. We are body, that's what we see, our flesh, our bits. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, what's going on inside our heads. And our spirit is the part of us that we cannot see or feel. But that's the part that relates to God. And that's the real us. That's the part that's going to go on and on. My body was not changed at salvation when I was born again. My soul, my mind, will and emotions was not instantly changed when I was born again. But the bit that was changed in the twinkle of an eye was my spirit. That was what was born again. And at that second, that point in time, it was saved. And at 100%, and it moved into full salvation. That is, it was healed, it was delivered, it was prospered. That part of me was sozoed. Amen. Look at a few more verses you should be familiar with if you've been with us at MGF for any time. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you were born again, it was the spirit man, the spirit part of you that was 100% saved, was changed, was born again. And it was created in righteousness and true holiness. It was created perfect. It was created just like Jesus. As he is, so are you in this world. That's 1 John 4:17. Now that must be talking about our spirit. Because my mind, my will and emotions, still not 100% like Jesus. This flesh, I don't imagine Jesus was ever ill, ever sick. So this flesh is not like him in this world. That's got to be talking about my spirit. Our spirits are perfect. Just like Jesus at that point of being born again. And it was sealed. You heard that in Ephesians 1:13. When you're born again, you were saved. You were healed. You were delivered. You were prospered in your spirit. A one-off change made perfect. All spiritual blessings. All that you need for life and godliness. Created in your spirit and sealed. Never to be lost. In that sense, salvation, being saved, sozoed, was a one-off event. But that's great for eternal life with God in heaven. Not much use for life on earth here. And the last week I told you being saved was about health, about deliverance, about prosperity. We saw people seeing that in their physical life on the earth. We saw that in the word. We saw them being healed, being delivered, being prospered in their physical life. So that's for us today as well. And so how do we get this into our soul and then into our body from our spirit? Ah, now that's the key, isn't it? You see, we have it all already. We're not waiting for God to heal. We're not waiting for God to deliver. We're not waiting for God to prosper. He has done that already through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He has made provision for that, and we receive that in our spirit through faith in what Jesus has done and who Jesus is. We now need to get this provision from our spirit out and into our body. And the word tells us how to do that. And in that sense, in this sense, we need to continually be saved. We need to move into salvation. And in that sense, being saved is a current and a future process until we slip off this mortal coil. Philippians 2:12 tells us to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. And that's a picture that I love. A picture for me of getting out from what is within. Getting it out. Working it out. Getting out what we already have in our spirit into our bodies. You see, healing can come from the spiritual, which we already have, into the physical, which we need. And if you've been listening to me for any length of time, you'll know where I'm going to go now. I'm going to go to Romans 12 verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In this sense, I see the transformation being talked about here as us being saved, as an ongoing process of moving into healing and deliverance and prosperity. And that present or future event of being saved. And it's for us to do. It's not for God to do. God has already done his part. How are we transformed or changed for the better? Like a caterpillar into a butterfly. Through having our minds renewed. Renovated, changed for the better. Mind renewed to the truths of Jesus and his finished work through the knowledge of him. Remember back to 2 Peter 1 verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That him is Jesus Christ. All things we need for life and godliness. How do we get them? Through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of Jesus. There's the key. Same thing that's been said in Romans 2. The key to change is knowledge, is mind renewal. Knowledge of Jesus and his finished work through the word. Knowledge of Scripture, of Jesus, of his finished work, his word. That's the requirement. Not God zapping you and healing you. Not God sovereignly deciding whether to heal, whether to deliver, whether to prosper or not. It's not praying and fasting and begging God to provide for you. Now, there's nothing wrong with prayer and fasting. Unless you're doing that to persuade God to do something he's already done. That, my friend, is unbelief or ignorance. You know, I'm sorry to be so blunt. But if you're asking God to heal you, you are either in unbelief or ignorance. Because it's asking for something that's already been done. If you're born again in your spirit, you have been healed. It is now for you to work out that salvation in your own, in fear and trembling. It's not for, no, God can guide you, God can help you, but it's for you to change your mind. It's for you to renew your mind. It's not for God to do anything anymore. If you're sitting and waiting for God to do something, you'll be waiting for a long time. God has already done it. Amen. Mind renewal is the key. Get the truths from your spirit into your mind, or soul, and then let that flow into your bodies, into the flesh. Mind renewal takes what we already have from the spiritual realm into the physical realm, where we need it for life on this earth. And in that sense, I believe salvation to be an ongoing process. It has to be. As I'm pretty sure, and I'm looking at you now, and I'm pretty sure that there's no one out there listening, if they were honest, could say they are living in 100% health, 100% deliverance from bondages and things that are holding them back, and 100% living in 100% prosperity. But 3 John 2 tells us that that's what God wants. Above all things. Above all things, he wants us to live in health and prosper. So it must be possible. And Jesus healed, and Jesus delivered, and Jesus provided in abundance wherever he went. So if we're not 100% complete in these areas, if we still need some healing, still need some deliverance, still need some prosperity, in that sense, we still need to be saved. Can you see that? We still need to see further salvation in our lives. Yes, we've got that ticket into heaven. In our spirit, we've been provided with everything. But in our bodies, if there's something lacking, we still need, in that sense, to move into salvation, to be saved, i.e. to see healing, deliverance, or prosperity. But Vic, why mind renewal? We read this verse earlier. If we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. So surely we just need to call upon the Lord. Isn't that asking him? Ask, call upon the Lord to be healed. Call upon the Lord to be delivered. Call upon the Lord to be prospered. And I see people doing that. Well, what does it actually mean? The Greek for called means to entitle, to invoke worship and testimony, to make decision. And the Greek word for name means authority or character. This is about talking. This is talking about believing in, deciding for the authority and character of the Lord, about his finished work. It is about knowledge and about understanding and belief. It is not about crying out, Lord, heal me. See, under the new covenant, that's not appropriate. We've seen some verses that have shown you that in your spirit, he has already healed you, he has already delivered you, he has already prospered you. Now the task is to work it out from our spirit, through our minds, through our soul, into our body. He has already made the provision. We need to understand that, have the knowledge in that, believe that, and we will see it come to pass in the physical. As a whosoever, yes, you have been saved in your spirit. That is perfect. That's like Jesus. That is 100% healed, 100% delivered, 100% prospered. No possibility of sin coming from that born again spirit. But as a whosoever, you can call upon the Lord to be saved in the sense of seeing healing, deliverance, prosperity in your physical life right now and in the future. For any need you have in the physical. By renewing your mind to his authority, to his character, by believing and knowing and trusting what the word says, and getting that into your mind, really believing it, thinking it, speaking it out, confessing it with your mouth, you can be physically healed, you can be physically delivered, you can be physically prospered right now. You are a whosoever. Do not miss out on this today or going forward. Do you have a need in your body, in the physical, right now? If you said yes, well, there has been a provision made to supply that need. And that is in your spirit already, right now, as a gift of grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You are a whosoever. In your spirit you have been saved, healed, delivered, prospered. And in your physical body right now, in your life on earth, you can also be healed, delivered, and prospered. Amen. Hallelujah. So I will move across a bit. Do you want to move in a little bit, darling?
Okay, thanks. Thanks, darling. Thanks for that good message. That was really good.
Thank you. And I will let Nancy lead us in communion.
Really.
Amen.
Just kind of carrying on from what you said, because really communion is all about remembering what Jesus has done for us, which is exactly what you've been talking about, that salvation that he's provided for us. That's what we remember, because we remember his body given and his blood shed, which was his way of providing that salvation for us. And what Jesus said about this, do in remembrance of me every time you eat. He wants there to be this continual remembering of what he has done, because it's important for us to keep it in our minds, to keep his salvation in our minds, so that we'll benefit fully from it. So he gave us the communion, he gave us this practical, physical act to use to remember what he had done, to keep in our minds that salvation that he's provided. And we use other scriptures often during communion to reinforce that idea of expanding our understanding of what he's done, to increase, or I should say strengthen, our faith, so that we can continually benefit more and more fully from everything that he's provided. The scripture I wanted to look at, a couple of scriptures today, but in Hebrews 10, verse 19, I want to use that scripture to begin with, where this scripture comes at the end of a 3.5 chapter exposition of why Jesus is superior to everything that's come before, and that he has established this new covenant, this new way of us relating with God and God relating to us. And then the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There we see the blood being used there. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Amen. So these two verses, using this imagery of his blood and his body, to show us what Jesus has done for us through his death, and not only his death but his resurrection, and the result of what he did was that we could have a very different experience to any of the Old Testament saints who'd come before, because the major difference between us and them was that they could not be born again. And as that was what Vic was saying today, this salvation, it's about this born again. And we are born again. The word uses that terminology and about being saved. And in Paul also talks about this circumcision of the flesh and how we had that old sin nature cut away like a circumcision. That's another imagery that the word uses. We have this salvation, we have the new birth, the new creation, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:17. And he also speaks about this in Romans 6, which I'd like to use. In Romans 6, the whole of chapter 6 has been talking about how our identifying with Jesus' death. That when Jesus died, he took human nature to the grave. And when he rose, we now partake of that resurrection life. So the first part of chapter 6 is talking about that. And in verse 11, he says, "Likewise, reckon you yourselves also to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That word reckon is a great word. It means to establish by calculation. It's a mathematical thing. Now, I'm no mathematician, but I love that. Establish by calculation, quantify. There's this idea of, you know, thinking about this, adding up the facts and coming to this conclusion that I am dead to sin and alive to God.
Amen.
And we can only use the scripture for that. The scripture is the only place that reveals all this truth. And this is why we love using the word, what Paul says to Timothy about rightly dividing the word, taking scriptures, taking this one, taking that one, putting them together, building this doctrine, this understanding. This is all what it means by calculating. Hmm. Taking this, taking that, adding together, this plus this equals this. And that's what reckon means. Or it also means consider or regard in a specific way. So Paul's saying, consider this, think about this, that in Christ you died as well, and in Christ you have been resurrected, made new, born again, recreated, however saved, however we want to say that. And this is what Jesus wants us to consider over and over again, to remember him, to remember what he did on the cross. So if you've got your elements... In the Gospels, Jesus says, "This is my body," or he says, "This is my body given for you." So Jesus has given his body to us. And then Paul says in Corinthians that Jesus said to him, "This is my body, which is broken for you." The idea is here that Adam was broken in us. So just take your bread and just break it. Adam is broken in you. Your sin nature is broken. It's been cut away, circumcised out. So we thank you, Jesus, for this symbol of your body that you gave for us, that we could be healed, whole, saved, and that you gave it freely for us, Lord. And so freely we receive, giving you thanks and praise for your body. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 6:6 says that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be crucified. So reckon, do the calculation and consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. And then we have the wine, which Jesus said was the symbol of his blood. And we read in Hebrews 10:19-20 that, hang on, let me just read it. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us." That consecrated means inaugurated, like a new president is inaugurated. The old one leaves, the new one is established, and the old one is no longer president. The new one is now the present. And that's what's happened here. The old has been replaced. We now have a new and living way through the blood of Jesus. That means that we can come right into the very presence of God because of the forgiveness of sin. Our sin has been dealt with absolutely once and for all. And now through the blood of Jesus, we have access into the very presence and every provision that God has for us. So we thank you, Jesus, that you shed your blood that we might receive that forgiveness of sin and to receive the new nature that you died and rose to give us. We thank you for this blood that has made the way into the holiest of all, that we might have that deep relationship with Father God. So we thank you, Jesus, for this blood poured out for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. This is why we take communion often. And every time we do, whoever's leading the communion will use scripture, take the word, and use it to remind us of some different aspect or some different angle of the salvation that Jesus provided for us. And that helps establish and reinforce these truths in us. So we really encourage you to join us for our communion online services. It's lovely to be together, to share communion together, and to talk about the Lord and talk about the word and just have fellowship with each other. So hope to see you through the week in the meetings. Anyway, thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, guys, if you want to check out when we're meeting online, have a look at our website, murraygrace.org.uk. Go onto our calendar. We have regular communions, 8 o'clock on a Monday night, 8 o'clock on a Thursday night, and 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. We also have another event this week. Myself and Sean are going to get together again on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock and have a chat about Sozo. So if you joined us last year, we were chatting about, what were we chatting about? The Magi and the Shepherds. So that was great fun, and a lot of folk were blessed by that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pick Sean's brains on Wednesday night about the Greek and about Sozo and whatever. So join us for that. But have a look on our website and see when that's going to be. So that's us finished. Darling, do you want a closing prayer for us?
Sure, okay. Yeah. Father, we thank you for this time in your presence and in your word. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll quicken this word to us, that it'll be life and flesh life and health to all our flesh. And we thank you, Father, for your continued presence daily, hourly, through this week. So we just give you praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, thanks for joining us. Please join us during the week. Have a look on our website. See when we're on. If you can't join during the week, we'll see you same place, same time next week on Sunday. So God bless. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you all again soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye.